Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them, Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Or you can tell them, Shalom. Shalom. Yes. Or you can just say, Peace. 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 I love that. Pray, peace. Peace. Yeah. If you recall last week, I talked about the state of our world and how to save it. And that the only true way really to do so was to have a spiritual revolution, right? A spiritual revolution where each of us would discover and uncover our own spiritual nature and identity. Because as long as we continue to identify ourselves as our personalities, or to only see ourselves as human beings, or functioning within our human nature, that we would continue to see separation, that we would continue to see us and them. We would continue to see the differences. Whereas if we were to perceive a different reality of our own nature, we might have a different experience. Because the egoic mind will continue to push us into this attack and defend mode of communicating and interacting with one another. I say something, you respond or react. I react to your reaction, and on it goes. But through the understanding and the expression of our spiritual selves, we will begin to see our oneness, right? We will begin to see something sublime. We will see the other as our sacred self. So that when I see you, I see me, right? We would see that when I see you, I'm looking at the face of the divine. I'm looking at the face and the energy and the spirit of God. But it takes us coming from a different perspective in order to be able to perceive that. Which means we want to lay aside the human awareness and consciousness and take on our divine nature. And that when we are able to do that, what will happen is that we will naturally and easily and automatically begin to connect with the divine and each other. It won't be an effort for us to do so. Whereas coming from our human nature, we have to try to love one another, right? It's an effort to see the Christ in them, because surely something is amiss. But when we are coming from our spiritual nature and seeing through the eyes of spirit and expressing through the energy and source of the divine, it is quite easy for us to see the other, to embrace the other, to see the spirit of the living God in manifestation. I also talked about and stated that our divine makeup as spiritual souls and spiritual beings meant that we are also called to bear witness to that, right? We are called to bear witness to the light of God that indwells us and every living being, right? So as spiritual beings, our makeup demands that we are now witnessing and bearing witness to this divine light, the light of God. And that energetically, as we work on ourselves, as we allow ourselves to release this light and to express this light, that it will begin to bless and heal others as well. We worked with the scripture that said that a light that's put on a stand gives light what? To all in the house. And so as we work on ourselves and begin to unleash and release this wonderful spirit of light that indwells us, then we bless others. Everyone else is pulled into that vision, into that seeing of God. After all, it's the light that overcomes the darkness, right? The darkness cannot overcome the light. So in effect, then, we will change the world by shining and expressing our light. So that's where we were last week, understanding that the more we vibrate and we raise our own vibration, that the spirit, the more the vibration of spirit will then begin to lift others. Because we will create a force field, a spiritual energy field and a consciousness for God. We'll be a force for good in the world. We'll begin to vibrate collectively and raise that vibration. So that's where we were last week. And I thought we would maybe go a little deeper with this whole concept of saving the world. Because it sounds like such a good thing to do. Doesn't it? And it really does sound like it's really an empowering thing. You know, I'm going to save the world. Now, if you take it from that human consciousness and egoic consciousness, it has a whole different meaning. But we're talking about spiritually. What is involved in saving the world? One would think from the other perspective, from our human consciousness, one would think that it would involve a lot of peace talks among heads of state, because we see that happening, right? Trying to get them together, or trying to bring together warring countries or warring people so that they could somehow hammer out some agreed upon ideas and concessions that they would have to make in an effort to achieve world peace. Concessions that would be made by both parties. And, you know, this is a familiar approach, and we are still trying to work at it today. And while it may work briefly, it also holds the possibility for resistance and resentment about having to give up something or to give in to something, right? Trying to bring about peace through some outside means, outside of ourselves. This is the approach that we have used time and time again. We've made treaties, right? We've had agreements. We've even had some commitments to ceasefire, all of these things. But they were temporary in nature, right? Some promise was broken, some agreement was not kept. It's peace from an outer experience. That's human consciousness, human nature. But I began thinking, what would it take if we were to become spiritual peacemakers? Not trying to effect peace out here. Not trying to get you to literally agree with me. But what would it take to be a peacemaker, a spiritual peacemaker? What would that be about? Well, certainly I think it would entail being at peace within oneself. If we're talking about spiritual peacemaker, right? It would entail being at peace within oneself. Spiritually speaking, everything begins with self, right? We know that. A transformation begins with self. And therefore, world peace must also begin with self. I cannot affect peace in your world and in your environment if I am not experiencing peace within myself. Because peace is an inner state of being, right? It's an inner state of mind. It is a God vibration and not something that is manufactured outside of oneself. See, that's the misnomer. We think that I can create peace out here, but it is a God vibration. It is an inner state of expression and being. Even praying for peace can be misleading. I love the song Pray for Peace, but sometimes we need to look at that thought. Praying for peace can be misleading because what we want to be able to do is pray peace. We want to pray peace. That is, we want to pray from the awareness of, from the consciousness of peace, because that's where the power lies. There's a big difference between praying for peace and praying peace. A big difference. You see, when we are able to come from our own inner vibration of peace, that is when we will be able to radiate it, right? To express it, to share it, to give it forth. When we vibrate from it, from within, that's when we will create a transformation within ourselves. When we are changed, the world around us is changed, right? When we are peace, peace prevails. I love the prayer of Saint Francis. He opens by saying, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. He didn't say, Lord, can you just give me some peace? He said, make me an instrument of your peace. You see, peace is a God thing. Peace is a God thing. It is an expression of the divine. And if it is an expression of the divine, therefore, praying for world peace really is praying about the energy and the spirit and the essence of God and its ability to reign upon and within every heart and every soul as a living vibration and expression. We are praying, when we are praying for peace, world peace, we're really praying that every soul awakens to themselves as instruments for the peace of God to flow through. See, we are channels, we are vessels, we are vehicles of the divine, right? And so we do not get peace, but we have to let peace. You can't get peace. You must let peace flow from within. You must let peace be. And once we are practiced at letting God's peace flow through us, it becomes easier and easier for us, and maybe even more natural for us, to be able to do the other things that Saint Francis spoke of and cited in his prayer. He said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, harmony. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. And where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. He goes on to say, O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, right? To be understood, not to be understood, but to understand. Not to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Beautiful poem. I'm sure many of you know that poem. And yet, as we know, it could be quite challenging to accomplish it. Right? Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is discord, let me sow harmony. Where there's injury, let me sow pardon. Very challenging for us to be able to do. Especially if we are coming from what? Human consciousness, human awareness, human nature. Which is why we must always lift up our spiritual souls, our spiritual selves, our spiritual nature. Because that is what will enable us to do these things. To sow love in place of hatred. To forgive for error. To give truth for error. We can't do that, as we talked about last week, from human nature. It is from consciousness of spirit. So when you know the spirit begins to lead you and guide your life. Now here's the thing that I had to laugh about. Because oftentimes spirit gives me an experience of the message that I'm going to share with you before I get to share it with you. Sometimes I go, oh, Lord, why not? But I get to have these experiences before I actually share the message with you. And I thought, well, I guess maybe it's because we can all see it as a demonstration of either what not to do or maybe what we can do. So yesterday, I was coming in for new members orientation. And I was running a little late because they were doing some work on South Dakota Avenue coming off of 50. You saw that, right, off of 50. So it was backed up off, when you get off 50, it was backed up, and usually it's just a breeze. So I waited in traffic because they were doing this, they were paving the street, and it was backed up. So when I finally get off and get to South Dakota and get on Rhode Island, and I get here, I get in front of the church, and I move to my parking spot, and there's a cab parked in the driveway entrance to my spot. So I turn on my, you know, my had my signal on, and I kind of gently and lovingly honk my horn to indicate that I wanted to park in there. So I did that, and he just sat there. So I thought I lovingly and gently honked again. And this time I thought I would add some hand gestures. So I was like, right? Letting him know I'm trying to get in there, right? And of course, he doesn't move again. So now a little bit of my dander is rising. And I'm getting a little frustrated, maybe a little having a little attitude, I don't know. But I decide to roll down the window, and I'm saying, hey, I'm trying to park in there. Still, he doesn't move. Well, by then, I decide to open up my door in the middle of the street, and I proceed to begin to get out of my car, all right? Because he had his window down, so I'm going to get out of my car. And as he sees me getting out of the car, he sticks his head out, and he says to me that he's just waiting for the light to change. And I said, but you could simply move forward so that I could get in, right? And so by this time, I get back in the car, the light has changed, and he moves up and he moves on. And I said, you see, I'm trying to get in here. Now, it doesn't really matter whether he heard me the first time I honked or whether he even understood when I began to gesture that I'm trying to get in there. Or when I had to open my door and proceed to almost get out of the car, none of that matters. Because it all boiled down to me losing my peace. Right? Not his actions, but me losing my peace. Because you see, I was already anxious. Right? I was anxious by being held up by traffic before I even got there. And so I brought that energy, that anxiety, with me, right in front of my own parking space. Because again, life is consciousness. Is that not what we say? Life is consciousness. Life is energy and vibration. And whatever our state of mind is, it goes before us, creating our world of experiences. We know this, right? Whatever your state of mind is, it goes and proceeds before you, creating your next experience. And had I been able to maintain my peace while I was way on 50 in South Dakota, I believe that I would have encountered an entirely different experience when I got to my parking spot. See, we are instruments not only of God's peace, but of every divine quality of God being. Be it love, be it peace, be it harmony, joy, wisdom, whatever. We are the instruments, the vehicle. The point is that we somehow must be able to touch that quality within ourselves. We must be able to experience it within ourselves, because when we can do that, that's the only way. As we can experience it within, can we then express it and have the experience be an outer manifestation. You see, to pray aright is to simply touch the Spirit of God. It is to be able to rest in the presence. It is the ability to meditate and vibrate. We say that every Sunday, right? It's about meditating and vibrating and trusting, touching that energy. Because the Bible says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God. When your mind is stayed, when you are praying aright, your mind, your focus, your consciousness, your energy are on the things of God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God, stayed on the good, stayed on the truth. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm keeping my mind on God. I'm keeping my mind on God. Keeping my mind and consciousness on God. You see, we must keep our minds, our hearts, our spirit, our bodies, our souls, everything stayed on the energy and the essence of spirit, because that is what will enable us to transform the world. We talked about it last week as being the light. When you are in this consciousness of peace and the vibration of it, you will begin to express it and be it in the world, in manifestation. So we want to pray peace. Not for peace, but from peace within. We want to pray love, not for love, but from the divine love that is within. We want to pray joy, not for joy, but from joy that is within us, right? See, when you pray for something, it is because you believe you do not have it. But when you pray from the consciousness of something, that is your validation that you already have it. It is already yours. Right? You are experiencing it already. I don't want to pray for prosperity. I pray prosperity. Mr. Fillmore, who was a co-founder of Unity, used to say that prayer is the highest, most accelerated mind action of God that there is. When you pray, you are elevating your consciousness. You are raising your vibration to the level of the divine expression. And then things begin to happen. Things begin to unfold. You begin to put on that Christ consciousness. And from that level of consciousness, it is then that we are empowered to do the work of spirit. When you are in that consciousness, you do the even greater works than these shall you do that Jesus talked about. From that consciousness. And so now is the time for us to do the greater works. This is the moment. This is the time. When we had our World Day of Prayer session in the evening, this church should have been filled with my light bearers and light workers wanting to do the work. See, we want to wake up magically and somehow it's all done for us. You are the light of the world. You are the peacemakers. You are the change that you are seeking and waiting for. And it will only happen as you begin to unleash that which is within you and to do the work. So we don't pray. We're here to pray for peace, but we're here to pray peace. We're here to be transformers of the world. The world will be transformed as each of us are transformed. Now, it's nice to come and get that wonderful prosperity message, the success message, and all the other things, a positive message, all the other things that we espouse in Unity and New Thought. But I'm here to say that there's another level that we are being called to. Another level. We're living at a different time, friends, and it requires a different energy from us. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. It's time for us to recognize that we are the servants of the divine, workers in truth and in light. So our task as spiritual souls is to touch and to bask in the light that is within us, in the peace that is within us, in the very nature of the divine that is within us, through us, and as us. It is time to bask in that, to dwell in it. Right? We want to dwell in that consciousness. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. It is time to dwell there. Sometimes we just run in and run out. Run in, get a little prayer, run out. Run in, ask for a little good and run out. We got to dwell in this presence. And when we dwell in the consciousness of the divine, God will do the rest. We will transform this world by transforming ourselves. That is the only true way. It is the way of the divine, my dear ones. You are God in expression and in manifestation, an expression of the divine. You are the face of God. You are the light bearer. You are the peacemaker. You are the great I am that I am. Now pray from that. Namaste and blessings. Namaste and blessings. Namaste. Perfect.